Well, it looks like a few of you, a few people that aren't here this morning must have taken offense to what the pastor said this morning and just decided not to show up for Sunday school. Since I was to blame for the message today, sorry about that. I'm a contextual person. I like to make observations and connect the dots on different things. And so one of the things we've seen since being here is looking at numbers. And from an attendance standpoint, 2018 was our peak level attendance. And from what I understand, there was a big PCS year that year after that. And so it was on decline. Even before COVID came, our attendance numbers were on decline. And so just looking then from the financial perspective, where we've been since 2018, has actually been an increase. Even though our numbers attendance-wise decreased, there was actually an overall increase in financial giving between 2018 and 2022, which was interesting. So I started to look through that a little bit more deeply. Technically from the cost of living increase, what do we call that number every year? How much inflation? And so our number, our giving number is actually going to stay about the same once you track that in. But still, it'll be giving percentage-wise about the same with less people. And so then we broke down, Ms. Amanda broke down the numbers for us and looking at it. And the interesting thing in life is I've never met anybody that actually gives freely to the church family that has been upset by a sermon that talked about tithing. Now, if you are one of those people, then see me afterwards, because you know, I just nobody's ever come up and talked to me after I preached on tithing or somebody else and said, I give freely, and I was offended by that message. So just kind of interesting how that happens. So, but yeah, I'll take the blame for doing that. To me, three books, you can look in your life and see how you're doing as a believer following Christ. What are those three books? Anybody heard this one before? So if I look at your Bible, if I look at your hymnal, and if I look at your checkbook, now I realize like all three of those are like a little bit out of date, because it might be your electronic device type of thing there, where you see it on the screen. But that's a really good tell of how Christ-like you are, is how much are you in God's Word, how important is God's Word to you. When it comes to singing, if you're a singer, if you sing out within corporate worship, that's a pretty good sign that you're following Christ. But if you hold back and you're not willing to sing out, I'm just a little concerned. I don't think we're going to be like floating on clouds and have harps and singing melodies in heaven like the whole time. But there will be this huge worship of God, and I think music is going to be part of that. And so if you're unwilling to sing here on earth, I would have a concern on that. And then if you look at your checkbook, you could also put your day timer in there if you want to do four of those. But I'm good with this systematic assessment of our lives. As Pastor talked about, we should be able to systematically look at our lives and assess our lives, analyze our lives to be able to see how we're tracking. And so I'll take the blame for all that. Okay, moving into our class, which today, announcements, we got Sarah's wedding shower will be next Sunday in here. First class, 3 weeks out, will be coming up. Anybody in here need to go to first class? I'll just put it right. All right, we got takers back there, Nicole and David. All right, so just think about that, tracking about that. Golf tournament. I know we've got some golfers in here. It's always good to have sponsors, because that will bring in more of the fundraising, decorating. Something that's very concerning to me, having been a teacher in my previous life, we've got a lot of positions open for next year, 2022, 2023. And we need to be praying. praying for the church or the school, you know, because VBA is a huge outreach from the church. We don't only have just church members that are in that school. Most of the kids are not Berean church members. So, you know, we're getting an opportunity to teach them about God, not only give them a high quality education, but yet we've got into everything. And so, we need a preschool teacher, middle school Bible school teacher, high school math teacher, technology teacher, an elective teacher, extended care help, elementary teacher, high school science teacher, high school band teacher, PE teacher, and then substitutes along the way there. And so, you know, please just be in prayer for those. That was in our bulletin last Sunday. If you happen to notice that in the bulletin, you can just refer back to that list. Just be praying for that. Of course, contact information, everything's still the same, hasn't changed. For bureaus, Dick is going to give us the update and Facebook. So, when we finished off last Sunday's lesson, we finished off there in verse 9 where Pilate was asking Jesus another question. And what was Jesus' reply back to Pilate? There was no answer. And I kind of extrapolated out of that that the reason Jesus didn't answer that question is because he had already answered it above and beyond everything that Pilate had talked with him about, everything that Pilate had asked him. I don't think that we have all that full discussion in that passage there. I think we have what we need to have. But I think that Jesus didn't need to go any further because he's like, I've already given you that information. And so I challenge you guys to think through this week. Have you been in your lifetime, maybe not right now, but have you ever been in that situation where it feels like you're not hearing anything from God? And sometimes I think that happens is because he told us something and he's still telling us the same thing. But yet, we don't want to hear whatever it is. And so we're like waiting for a new message to come to us. And we don't want to hear what he's saying at this point. We're like, okay, skip forward on that. So I thought I'd just open it up. How's the hearing from God lately? I know I really set that up terribly. It's going to be hard for you to be willing to do, discuss this. But I think it's very important. You know, as a small group, we have to be able to have tough conversations. To be able to help each other. But then also encourage each other. So maybe somebody has been hearing from God very, very clearly. How have you been doing that? What have you been hearing? I know I answered two different, or asked two different questions. You can answer either one. How has your hearing been going? If it's been bad, good, ugly. So for me, overarchingly, pretty good. But yet, I'm still challenged in my quiet time that my praying, my talking to God, my listening to God. The time is there, the effort, the energy is there, but the connectivity is not what I have seen it and felt it in the past at times. And so I'm a little challenged right now. Am I in a situation, you know, like I've described here? You know, am I not hearing fully? I don't know. I'm trying to work through that with God. Somebody else? John?
I can relate a few things. Right in my life now, It's taken me a while to get here.
Yep.
But in my spiritual walk, you know, I have a business, and Jesus is my partner. He's blessed me 30 years now being in business. When I go to work, naturally, I start my day with prayer.
Yep.
And I ask God to speak to me verbally, but that's not happening yet. But what he does do, he speaks to me in a quiet voice, but he also puts people in my life.
Good.
So as I go to work, you know, I pray there also, and I listen to Christian music, and I also offer my customers a testimony. I get in, and I always try to give God's word out to my customers. Now some, you know, we're busy in our lives, and they don't, you know, it's a play-by-play. But I always have an opportunity, perhaps, to come. Pastors come in a lot of times. I'll be able to talk to them about how we can how I can help them. So as a business person, I got to make a profit, so I'm in business. But God, and I've realized in my walk that I always thought I was a military guy. I was an MI guy, an intelligence guy, I did stuff. Then a business person. But it's not so. I was always a Christian, but as a military guy. A Christian in the business. And I asked God, why? Why? To be a light in that community. So
you can pull this back into you hearing God?
Yes, it's all part of God.
Kind of swayed a little bit. We got to pull you back.
So 3 years ago, four years ago, I took a spiritual walk with God. I took a time off from everybody for a month. I went back. God was talking to me. He was showing me visions. I got into my pantry. I said, man, what is going on? But he took me through that process. And so what God was showing me was visions that at Fort Huachuca, Arizona, that I had experienced it earlier in my life. So I went out that and I took a spiritual trip with God for a month. That was hard for me. Hardest day was when I left my home. But it continues today. I was sent here to this church on my coming back into town from that trip. I went to different churches. I belonged to First Baptist. And I still go there. In fact, after this Sunday school, I'll be going to the service there. Because they outreach. And I'm an outreach guy. I'm on the corner. I'm talking to people about coming to church. But the Lord Jesus Christ and what He offers us.
It works, John.
Sorry.
It's okay. We've got to pull you back in. Get a little long winded there. We've got to stay focused, though. But it was good stuff. Somebody else. Hearing from God. How's it going?
Well, a few months ago, I was very disconnected. If you can say that's not God, I was going through a lot of self-help, personal, and I had a bunch of questions. And the more questions I had, the further I felt from God. And I was just very confused because there was no answer. But I, looking back now, I see that God wanted me that way. And now, all these answers are coming all at once. And what I take from it is that God takes you to the valley so you can understand the answer to your question. And that is just personal. I don't believe that God will ever talk to me in an audible voice. I find I can talk to Him through His scripture. And now that I really reconnected, if I can say that, with God, I have all my answers in scripture, and also when I come to church, many of these answers I find in church during the sermon.
One more person share with us. How's the hearing from God going?
Being vocal with my coworkers about my relationship. I think based on some of the things that I see and hear from their interaction, they recognize there's a difference in who I am relative to the things that they're accustomed to. But I need to be more vocal in sharing why there's a difference. So, it's more of a prodding than it is of anything. I have all kinds of confidence in who God is and what He's done in my life and the years past. I can see that. So it's more of a prodding and being verbal about who he is in my life.
Well, thanks for the three of you. I know that wasn't easy to share today, and I appreciate that part.
The rest of us were being like Jesus.
Oh, you're right.
Nice. So you told me before, I don't need to, I have to go back and listen to that. When it says 16a, what does that mean?
The first part of the verse.
Okay. Why do we say the first part of the verse?
A lot of times it's because the thought ends in the middle of the verse, and so continuing means we have to pay attention to a change of thought or an additional thought that could be separated from the first part.
Yeah, we always have to keep in mind that, you know, the chapters, the verses, that was man inserted in there, that was not inspired, and so he didn't get them all exactly right, the bishop or I forget who did that back way long ago. And so it does, it changes thoughts, and so Doc will pick it up with 16b next Sunday. And so can somebody go ahead and read for us these verses, start there in verse 10 through the first half of 16.
So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" And Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" Chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified.
Thanks, Mr. Priest, on that. Wow, a lot of good stuff in there. We're going to buzz through it the next 20 minutes and dig it out. So here in verse 10, so Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and the authority to crucify you?" So what's Pilate doing in this statement to Jesus? How's he coming across?
As the dictator.
Yeah, you know, he's getting rubbed raw both ways here, and he's not liking it at all on that. So he has a little, you know, "I'm the man. You know, I'm in charge here. You know, you need to focus on that." And when you have authority, you have to be careful. You know, you can't let the circumstances around you affect how you influence, how you use that authority. And so as we go through the lesson today, I just want to keep coming back to, you have authority in your life. God's given you authority. Maybe it's not to this level, but he's given you authority in your life, around people, different places. And so we just need to take a lesson from Pilate here that, you know, don't let the situation make you change on how you live out, how you exert that authority there. Somebody read us verse 11.
Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin."
So let's just do the first half of that verse. What is Jesus pointing out here? Say it.
You're not in charge.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, he's saying you're not in charge. Somebody want to add to that what Jesus is saying here? Okay. So he's pointing out very specifically that God's the one that gave you that.
Ms. Teresa, you had more? He stole your answer.
We're thinking alike.
It's combined.
Combined. Group think. Okay. All right.
The other part that is implied here, even to the Jewish leaders, is that Jesus is part of that authority. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're upset about, is that he has claimed to be God all these years, that he's been being heard, and he's just reminding Pilate that he's part of that authority.
So when we read through Scripture, when we look at the world and the governments of the world, what is one thing that we do have to understand that comes out of this first half of the verse? When we see
in Rome, they more or less deified the emperor. The emperor was seen on his side as godlike.
Okay, true.
In fact, there was a belief too that the emperor could die, that they would be resurrected.
Good. James?
God sets up our structures.
Yeah, we have to understand that everybody that's in power around the world, they got that power, that authority through God. He allowed it to happen one way or the other. And sadly, as Scripture tells us, often if it's a bad ruler, a bad situation, it's because we have not been obedient, that we're not headed in God's direction. And so that's challenging to deal with, but we do need to understand that. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't pray through that, that we can't pray that person out. But we need to be willing to understand that we could be part of that, or somebody is. So the second half of the verse here, what is Jesus pointing out? He said, therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin.
It could be pointing to two different people.
Okay.
It could be pointing to Judas or to Caiaphas.
Okay. Does he have to be pointing to any person in particular?
Or just men in general?
Yes. Yeah, I think we can take it person by person, and there were multiple people that were involved in this along the way. Patricia, you want to add to it?
I do believe that the greater sin was of the leaders because Pilate, right? Am I saying right?
Yep.
He was a pig. He didn't know any better. But the leaders, they knew. They knew his future. They knew exactly who Jesus was. You know, when I was an unbeliever, I always said, there was a question, how did they do that? You know, maybe they didn't know. Maybe they were like me, but no, they knew. They knew what the prophet said. So they had greater sin. They will be judged more. That's how I understand.
Yep, and I'm with that. And so as you look at the authority that you've been given in your life, depending on where you are in the hierarchical system, you're still going to be responsible for what influence you had with your authority. But ultimately, those that lead out are going to be held more responsible. And so if you're a leader, within that calling, it's not like a woohoo, I'm a leader, I get more power, more authority. It really should be, oh my, as a leader, I have more power and more authority. I need to be much more listening to God, more conservative, more focused on, you know, instead of exerting that power. So go ahead and read us 12.
As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar.
Notice with Pilate, we keep seeing this little flipping back and forth where sometimes he's like upset and he's like really focused on being the Roman ruler and carrying out the law, but then at times he's like, he's convicted, it seems like, that no, Jesus is innocent, and you know, I need to figure out how can I stop this from happening. And he keeps going back and forth. So started off in verse 9, and he pushed that power button there. But then now in 12, he's like, oh man, you know, it's like, how can I stop this from happening? But then, of course, the Jewish leaders, they push in there, and they push his number one button. His number one threat is that if something is an uprising here, if it gets word back to Caesar, then that's what's actually going to demote him or even cause his death. And so that's the button they push. That's where the card they play is that they're saying he's a king, he's against Caesar, because they know that Pilate can't let that stand.
I think it's interesting that they have, most of the Jewish, even the religious leaders, despise having to live under Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they're using that as a leverage.
Yeah, yeah, you're getting ahead. We got two more verses to get through to get there. But yeah, say, hold that and bring that back there. Somebody hits with 13, 14.
So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king."
Okay. So here he goes. He's going to go ahead and do it. He's going to give into it. Here you go. But he still uses the language of your king. And for lack of time, we're going to jump ahead here, and because Dick gave us an intro to that. Somebody read us 15. So I think back to Palm Sunday, they are pumped up and excited, and in 4 days, now all of a sudden, they're the total opposite direction. I think that's a pretty good word for us, that we need to make sure that we're not so quickly back and forth in our emotions at times. I don't know that that's very godly, but as Dick was telling us a couple verses earlier, go ahead. Paint the picture for us right here, Dick.
Basically, the Jewish people were very upset having to live under the rule of Caesar. They have been looking for all kinds of ways to reestablish Israel. In fact, that's part of their understanding of their prophecy, is that they were going to have a king of David back on the throne of Israel. And so it's ironic that here they so hate Jesus that they're willing to say Caesar's our king, not this guy.
We have a very consistent God. He is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. Now, of course, we've talked about the caveat with that is God's outside of time, so technically there is no yesterday, today, tomorrow. He's just the same. If we're going to be Christ-like, we need to be consistent in that Christ-like. The Jewish leaders are being so inconsistent here. Because as Dick said, they were so anti-Caesar, so anti having that Roman king over them. But in this moment, because it fits what they need, it fits what they want to have happen, then they go, King Caesar! Whoop, whoop, yay! All right, right there. How can that happen in our life as believers? Where can we get in trouble sometimes where things were against them, if we're not for them, but yet we get caught up in what is going on and we kind of give into it?
We don't trust God's plan. Right? We're subject to manipulation. We want to find a solution. We don't trust God's plan, so therefore we seek out man or whatever entity that we're serving.
We grab control because we're going to make something happen. Okay, somebody else. How sometimes can we get into this ourselves and be inconsistent?
Follow the larger crowd.
Yeah, we can follow the larger crowd and sucked in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, a lot of the churches, we've had a lot of the church in America undergoing this right now. I heard George Barna speak yesterday. And he says only 6% of supposed Christians have a Christian worldview. And so, and he went on to say, because we're not reading the Bible, we don't have that worldview, and we're easily manipulated into these things by the government, by the mainstream media, what have you. You see this playing out now with the abortion ruling with the Supreme Court. It's no different now than it was back then. People are trying to manipulate our thoughts, and we just have to.
And to me, I relate back to both John, Patricia, and Dick when they answered that question in the beginning. They all three highlighted the importance of God's Word in us hearing from God. You know, that is the first starting point. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. It's got to be His Word.
And on that note, too, I think it comes back to our ultimate allegiance. I think it's very easy. It's more like a slow submission creep thing that happens in people's lives, or a slow fade, and he's the full cast of crowns. Is we let something in, and it might not even be a bad thing necessarily, and often maybe be politics, but we let that thing creep in. And then, you know, as Christians, then you know, there should be no greater than Christ. But we kind of put Him down here. He's just a part of everything else that's in our life. And that's, like, that's where it shows up. It may not show up as overtly as that. But
and that's what we have to be careful of. Because sometimes we'll read through this story here and we'll be like, well, they're really bad because, you know, they're like hollering, crucify Him. I never would verbalize that against God. So we say we're not that bad, but yet we're tending in that direction. Doc?
That's, yeah, my thought was we often begin rationalizing a different train of thought or a sin based on people that we love or that we've respected and looked up to. So when they and change behavior, or when they, you know, I've talked to, you know, a lot of parents over in the late years here, you know, their children have decided, so they were gay. Well, then all of a sudden it's, well, you know, I really love my child, maybe it's not that bad, maybe, you know, and then they start doubting the Word of God and trying to rationalize, okay, how can we, you know, make this okay and still love my child and still do all these things.
Yeah. You know, for me, when I think about hearing from God, having that conversation with God, staying consistent so we don't waver and have that mission drift that we were just talking about, you know, thumb is the prayer, the talking to God, the listening to God. And so it's through prayer in His Word, through prayer in my spirit within me, through prayer and the strong belief of other people around me, strong believers, and then the circumstances. And I have to make sure that I'm going in that order. God's Word, my spirit, other strong Christians, and then circumstances. Because this is the hardest to mess up, God's Word. We have it black and white and red on that. The circumstances is the easiest to twist around. So we've got to make sure we start with God's Word and then go from there. All right? So verse 16, so they delivered Him off to them to be crucified. So it's interesting, we're a month out from Easter, and so, you know, we normally get this real big push March or April when we had Easter going through the whole crucifixion, but yet we're kind of getting a redo, a little reminder extra. And so I just want to challenge you this week to be thinking through. Doc's going to start us into the actual crucifixion and what takes place and how John talks about it next Sunday. Between this Sunday and next Sunday, just ponder through Jesus going to the cross. And how is that on you? How is that because of you? Why would Christ need to go to the cross for you? And just kind of be open to that as you read God's Word, as you have your quiet time, as you're around other people, as you listen to music. Just try to listen and see if God can help you to understand clearly that me, I'm a huge reason why Jesus was crucified. And I need to own that. I can't change that. I just need to own that. That needs to be a starting point for my life. And then the second thing, as we're talking about authority, we all have authority. And so, within the authority that you're given, are you handling that in a Christ-like way? Are you using that effectively as that light, like John said a few moments ago? You know, are you using it as that witness? for the people that are around you, the lost especially that are around you. Can somebody go ahead and close the word prayer?
Father, thank you once again for the opportunity to get in your word, to study it, to discuss it. Thank you for preserving it for us, and for the opportunity to meet in the freedom that we have to do so. I pray that you bless the week to come. Help us to ponder these questions that Pastor Mike has given to us, and to be more focused on you, and then to allow our love for you to shine and to be revealed to others and open opportunities for us to speak to them about you. And we also continue to pray for the conflict in overseas.